The 2024 election is over, and it's time to examine the results of California's ballot propositions and key candidates. I'm your host, Tess Abraham, and I'll be breaking down where all the races stand post-election day on this bonus episode of the California Conversation. Well, friends, the 2024 election is officially over. I heard from so many of you that going through the propositions together each week was helpful as you cast your ballot. So I'm so thankful to have been able to play a small part in helping you prepare for the election. If you haven't looked at the latest vote tallies, then it's time to see where the voters landed on each proposition and what is set to go into effect for California come 2025. Before we dive into the results, I want to make you all aware that it's being reported that tens of thousands of ballots across California have been rejected due to the signature on the ballot not matching the signature on file with the DMV. Several races, especially for the California Assembly and the U.S. House of Representatives, have not yet been called, so it's really important to check the status of your ballot and correct the error if it was rejected. I'll put a link in the show notes to where you can check if your ballot has been counted or not, and if it was rejected, then you should have received an email on how to fix it, or else you should reach out to your county's registrar's office. When it comes to races like the Assembly or the House, these can be won by just a few dozen votes. So checking your ballot is really important. I believe the deadline to correct the error is December 1st. So click the link and just do a quick confirmation that your ballot was received. With that, let's go through a brief rundown of where the major races in California stand. As I just mentioned, it's important to note that as I'm recording this episode, still not all of the votes have been counted. So some propositions are still subject to change. The Associated Press has called 7 out of the 10 ballot propositions, and the 3 that are left over are reporting about 61% of the votes counted. Here we go. Proposition 2, the $10 billion bond for public school infrastructure, is confirmed to have passed with a 57% majority yes vote. Remember that school bonds require 55% of the vote to pass, so given that threshold, it was a fairly slim margin of victory. This is not the outcome that I had hoped for based on our discussion of the proposition on the show. However, now that it has passed, I hope that our government will take care to use the funds wisely and shrewdly allocate them to schools in low-income areas that need the most repairs. If the government approaches it that way, then the money will not have to be wasted. Proposition 3, the change to the California Constitution to enshrine marriage as a fundamental right and remove traditional marriage, is also confirmed to have passed with a 61% majority yes vote. This is what I expected, although not what I hoped or voted for. It's important to remember that this doesn't really change anything in the state. Gay marriage has been legal in California since 2013, and this language change doesn't have an impact on that reality. If anything, it's a reminder that the church has a vital role to play in continuing to preach biblical values and stand firm on what God has defined as good, despite what our culture votes for. That's nothing new for us as Christians. Proposition 4, the $10 billion bond for climate and environmental initiatives, is confirmed also to have passed with a 58% majority yes vote. Now, I know what you're thinking. Don't bonds require a 2/3 majority vote to pass? How did this pass with 58% instead of 66% of the votes? That's a great question that I was asking myself when I saw these results. I did some digging, and it turns out that if a bond does not have an associated tax increase attached to it, it can qualify to pass under the simple majority threshold rather than the supermajority. While there may be tax increases in the future to cover the cost of the bond, it was proposed as simply being repaid from the general fund, and therefore could pass with just 50% of votes. That being said, this was another proposition with an outcome that I wasn't hoping for, but my response would be the same as what I said to Prop 2. I just hope that our government will work to spend the money efficiently and keep their priorities in check, and to only fund climate initiatives that are proven to help Californians and the environment, not wasting the funds on programs that have been proven not to work and are based on unproven scientific claims. Proposition 5, the constitutional amendment to lower the voting threshold for bonds related to infrastructure and affordable housing, was confirmed to not have passed with a 56% majority no vote. This is a win. This is the outcome that I recommended on the show. The good news is that for bonds that have tax increases attached to them and relate to these areas, they will still require 66% of voter approval rather than lowering it to just 55%. Proposition 6, the constitutional amendment to remove the ability of the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation to assign jobs to prisoners without their consent, has not yet been called. However, as of the date I'm recording this podcast, it has a 54% majority no vote, and 60% of the votes have been counted. If the remaining votes continue to trend in this direction, it is looking like this will not pass. Honestly, this outcome is shocking to me. I thought for sure that voters would see the title being framed as removing slavery from the state constitution and just vote yes on it if they don't know more detail as to what it means. This is great news if it does in fact keep the same outcome. We'll just have to watch and see where it goes. Proposition 32, to raise the minimum wage, also has not yet been called by the AP. But you guys, currently the majority of votes are a no. This is another huge shock. It isn't final yet, and the majority is just 51% of no votes, so it could end up swinging to yes by the time all votes are tallied. But the fact that it's even a possible outcome that this could end up not being passed is incredible. This shows you, regardless of the final outcome, that Californians across the state are tired of raising the minimum wage into oblivion, hurting business owners, and raising inflation in the process. Common sense is waking up. I will be watching this one very closely, and if it is called as a no, that will be a fantastic win for our state. Let's just keep the streak going with Proposition 33, which was expanding rent control measures. It has been confirmed by the AP to not have passed. Once again, a majority of 61% of the votes were no's for this one. Another huge win for California and for the housing crisis across our state. Californians are just confirming that rent control measures are not what they want for their counties. They want the government to protect the rights of landlords and incentivize development of more housing. Proposition 34 is the third measure that hasn't yet been confirmed, but as it stands, it's at a 51% majority yes vote. There's still a chance it could not pass, but if it keeps trending this way, then it most likely will be a yes. This is the measure to restrict certain healthcare entities to using 98% of their drug revenue on direct patient care, and that so far would only apply to the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. I recommended to vote no on this measure, as I believe it should apply fairly across the board to health organizations and not single out one organization that's the political rival of the proponents of the proposition. But if it does pass, then I'm not against the stricter standards of how the revenue should be spent. Michael Weinstein of the AIDS Healthcare Foundation has vowed to take this to court if it passes, so we'll have to see what happens with that and if the measure ends up being struck down in court. Proposition 35, the measure to make the MCO tax on healthcare organizations that provide you with health insurance permanent and to restrict the funds from the MCO tax to certain programs within Medi-Cal, is confirmed to have passed with an overwhelming 67% majority yes vote. This is another one that I had recommended voting no on, but the upside of this measure is that it does hold Governor Gavin Newsom accountable to his word of how he would spend the MCO tax revenue. I still think it would have been better not to pass, but I can find the bright side in that aspect at least. And finally, our last measure, the star of the whole election, the pride and joy of the Californian people across the state, Proposition 36 passed with the largest margin of victory, 70% yes votes. This is the best news coming out of these election results, as prosecutors and DAs will finally have the ability to once again prosecute theft and drug crimes across the state and impose harsher penalties to stop these crimes from being committed in the first place. We have made our voices heard that we are tired of the rampant crime in our communities. We are saddened by the drug epidemic that has been allowed to go on completely unaddressed, and we are determined to make effective change that will make the lives of everyday residents better and safer. It took 10 years, but the public is seeing clearly the impacts that Proposition 47 had on our state. And come December 18th of this year, we will begin the vital work to roll back all of those negative effects. I could not be more thrilled for this outcome. That wraps up our propositions, and honestly, I feel pretty good about those results. 5 out of 10 propositions going the way that we recommended on the show is a pretty good success rate, given that I have a fairly conservative perspective, and California is a totally liberal state. Of course, there were some bond measures and some healthcare measures that I didn't agree with, but they don't necessarily have to be negative if they're stewarded wisely by our state. And the really important measures to our economy and our safety either already passed or are trending that direction. So I think we can take heart and continue pushing forward to make even more change in future elections. The work for the 2026 midterm starts today. Outside of the propositions, there were a few other races that were relevant to California that I want to give you the results for as they stand today. For our U.S. Senator, the race was between Democrat candidate Adam Schiff and Republican candidate Steve Garvey. To no one's surprise, Schiff won with 58% of the votes. He will replace LaFonza Butler, who had been appointed by Governor Newsom to fill Dianne Feinstein's seat after she passed away in 2023. Butler didn't run for re-election, and therefore Schiff will be taking her spot. Our other senator is Alex Padilla, who was elected in the last midterm in 2022, and he'll be up for re-election in 2028 after his six-year term is over. For the U.S. House of Representatives, there were 53 races, 42 of which have already been called by the Associated Press. So far, 35 seats have gone to Democrat representatives, while 7 have gone to Republicans. Moving to the state level, for the California Senate and Assembly, not all the races have been called. According to the Washington Post, the Senate had 20 seats up for election, and 10 have been confirmed for Democrats, with 1 being confirmed for Republicans. The remaining 9 are still too close to call. This adds to the Senate seats that were not up for election this year to give us a total breakdown of 24 Democrat senators, 7 Republican senators, and 9 undecided. Of the undecided races, 3 are trending Republican, with the remaining trending Democrat. That means there's a real chance that Republicans could pick up one seat, given that there was a 31-9 split before the election. The state assembly had all 80 seats up for election, with currently just 36 seats being called. So far, the split is 28 Democrats to 8 Republicans, but it's too early to tell where the final tally will land. And that's all of our election results. It seems that most of the results went the way that voters would expect, but there were a few surprises that I think give hope to those of us who are more conservative, hoping to affect change in the state. Regardless of whether you feel encouraged or discouraged by those results, now is the time to keep pushing forward in our resolve to be informed, get engaged, persuade our fellow Californians, and promote common sense values that will work to restore our state. To that end, tomorrow we will be right back here with another episode of the show to dive into our first bill together. From here on out, I'll be working to keep you updated and informed on as much legislation as I can. Governor Newsom passed roughly 1,200 bills this year, and while we certainly can't cover them all on the show, I want to pick out the most important ones to represent where the laws stand in our state on various issues. I hope that by looking at bills together week after week, you will have a fuller picture on how our legislature and governor currently govern our state, the real-world effects that legislation has on our day-to-day lives, and areas that you want to see change across California. So, I will see you back here tomorrow to talk about one of the most contentious issues that we saw throughout election season and how it has been enshrined into California law. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and pass it along to your friends, family, and fellow Californians so that you don't miss it. And as always, thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the California Conversation.